This is Radio Hangar. I'm Tail Dragger, and pull up a chair because I want to tell you about a man who saw more of the world with one eye than most of us will ever see with two. His name was Wiley Post. And if you have never heard his story, or if you only know the ending, which was a tragedy, then settle in. Because this man's life was one of those stories that reminds you why we fell in love with airplanes in the first place. Wiley Hardeman Post was born in 1908 on a cotton farm near Grand Saline, Texas. Family moved to Oklahoma when he was a kid. Poor dirt farmers. There was no silver spoon, no trust fund, no path to aviation that made any kind of sense. He saw his first airplane at a county fair when he was about 14 years old, and that was it. The hook was set. But flying cost money, and Wiley Post did not have money. So he did what Oklahoma boys did in the 1920s. He went to work in the oil fields. Now here's where the story takes a turn that would have stopped most people cold. In 1926, working as a roughneck, a piece of iron chipped off a bolt and hit Wiley Post directly in his left eye, took it clean out. He was 18 years old, lost an eye in an oil field accident, and that could have been the end of any flying dream for anyone else. But Post took his workers' compensation payout, about $1,800, and bought himself an airplane. A battered Canuck, which was a Canadian-built version of a Curtiss JN. For Jenny, think about that for a second. $1,800, one eye, no formal training to speak of, and he bought an airplane. That is not a career plan. That is an act of faith. Today's show is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins for every milestone in flight. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating, all the way up. If you have earned it, they have got a coin for it. Every coin tells a story. Check them out at aviationsoul.com. Now Post barnstormed for a while. Did some parachute jumping, scraped together a living the way a lot of pilots did back then. But his break came when he was hired as a personal pilot by a wealthy Oklahoma oilman named F.C. Hall. And Hall owned a beautiful Lockheed Vega. High-wing monoplane, plywood fuselage, fast for its day. They called her the Winnie Mae, named after Hall's daughter, and it was in the Winnie Mae that Wiley Post did something absolutely extraordinary. In 1931, Post and his navigator Harold Gaddy flew around the world. Not just flew around the world, they did it in 8 days, 15 hours, and 51 minutes. That shattered the previous record held by the Graf Zeppelin by more than 12 days. 8 days. In a single-engine Lockheed Vega. With one pilot who had one eye and a navigator working with a drift indicator and a sextant. They left Roosevelt Field on Long Island on June 23, 1931, and they headed east, across the Atlantic to England, down through Germany and Russia, across Siberia, which in 1931 was about as remote as the surface of the moon, then across the Bering Sea to Alaska, down through Canada and back to New York. 15 stops, brutal weather. Fog so thick in Siberia they were flying 50 feet above the tundra trying to find the landing strips, which were often nothing more than a flat patch of ground someone had cleared with hand tools. The Winnie Mae had no autopilot, no radar, no GPS. Post hand flew that airplane across 11 time zones. With one eye, there were stretches where he was awake for more than 30 hours straight, and Gaddy would have to shout at him to keep him from nodding off at the stick. When they landed back at Roosevelt Field, there were crowds, ticker tape parade in New York City. They were heroes. Post and Gaddy had proven that the airplane could shrink the world. But Wiley Post was not done. Not even close. 2 years later, in 1933, he did it again. Flew around the world again in the Winnie Mae. But this time, he did it solo. No navigator, just Wiley Post alone in a Lockheed Vega, with something new. He had installed one of the first autopilots ever used on a long-distance flight. It was a Sperry autopilot, a crude mechanical device that used gyroscopes to hold heading and wings level. It was temperamental, unreliable, and it broke down multiple times during the flight. But when it worked, it let him rest his arms, check his charts, eat a sandwich. It was a revolution in concept, even if the execution was rough. He made the solo circumnavigation in 7 days, 18 hours and 49 minutes, faster than his own record, solo, one eye, one engine, one autopilot that kept trying to quit. Now here is where it gets interesting, because most people stop the story there. The around-the-world flights made Post famous. But what he did next was, in some ways, more important to aviation than the record flights themselves. Wiley Post became obsessed with high-altitude flight. He believed the future of long-distance aviation was up in the stratosphere, above the weather where the air was thin and an airplane could go faster on less fuel. Which, by the way, is exactly how we fly today. Every jet you have ever been on cruises in the flight levels for precisely the reasons Post figured out in 1934. But there was a problem. In the 1930s, airplane cabins were not pressurized. You went above about 15,000 feet and you started losing your faculties. Go above 25,000 and you would lose consciousness. Above 30,000 you would die. Post's solution was not to pressurize the airplane. That technology was not ready yet. His solution was to pressurize the pilot. He worked with the B.F. Goodrich Company to develop what was essentially the world's first practical pressure suit. It looked like something out of a Jules Verne novel, a rubberized fabric suit that covered his entire body, with a helmet that bolted on and sealed tight. It had its own oxygen supply and a crude pressurization system that kept the suit inflated to a survivable pressure even when the air outside was too thin to breathe. He went through three versions of the suit. The first one failed almost immediately. The second one worked in a ground test but tore apart in flight. The third one held together, and in that third suit, in the Winnie Mae, which he had modified with a supercharged engine, Post reached altitudes above 40,000 feet, 40,000 feet in a Lockheed Vega, in 1935. In a plywood airplane with a fabric-covered fuselage and a pilot wearing what amounted to a rubber diving suit bolted to his own oxygen supply, and up there at 40,000 feet, Post discovered something that would change aviation. He found the jet stream. He was recording ground speeds that his instruments said were impossible for his airplane's airspeed. He was getting pushed along by winds of over 200 miles per hour, winds that no one knew existed because no one had ever flown high enough to find them. Post reported these findings and people were skeptical. 200 mile per hour winds at altitude? That did not match any existing meteorological theory in the Western world. Japanese meteorologists had actually theorized about high altitude wind currents, but their work was not widely known in the United States. It took several more years and the experience of World War II bomber crews to confirm what Wiley Post had found alone in a Vega at the edge of space. Think about what this one man contributed, the around-the-world speed record, twice. The practical demonstration of the autopilot on long-distance flights, the invention of the pressure suit, which became the direct ancestor of every high-altitude flight suit and eventually every spacesuit that followed. The discovery of the jet stream, all from a one-eyed Oklahoma roughneck with an $1,800 insurance check and a dream. Now I have to tell you the end because you cannot tell the story of Wiley Post without it, and it is a hard one. In August of 1935, Post was flying a hybrid airplane through Alaska. It was a Lockheed Orion fuselage mated to a set of Sirius wings, fitted with pontoon floats. The airplane was nose-heavy. Everyone who looked at it said so. Post knew it too, but he flew it anyway. He was exploring possible air routes between Alaska and Russia, and his passenger was his close friend Will Rogers, the beloved American humorist and actor. On August 15th, they took off from a lagoon near Point Barrow, the northernmost point in Alaska. The engine quit shortly after takeoff. The airplane was low and slow, nose heavy on those oversized floats, and when the power died, there was nowhere to go. The Orion Sirius hybrid nosed over and plunged into the shallow lagoon. Both men were killed instantly. Wiley Post was 36 years old. The loss was devastating. America mourned both Post and Rogers. President Roosevelt ordered flags to half-staff. The nation had lost two of its most beloved figures in a single moment on a remote Alaskan lagoon. But what Post left behind is still with us. Every time you fly at flight level 350 and the captain announces 140-knot tailwind, that is the jet stream Wiley Post found. Every time an astronaut suits up, the lineage goes back through military pressure suits to that Goodrich suit Post wore in a plywood Vega. Every time the autopilot holds your heading while you brief an approach plate, you are standing on ground. Wiley Post broke when he trusted a Sperry gyroscope to fly him across Siberia. One eye, $1,800. And he changed everything. Most of what I shared today comes from the late Brian Sterling's biography of Post, some wonderful material from the Oklahoma Historical Society and the Smithsonian's archives on the Winnie Mae and the Goodrich pressure suit. Dig into any of it and you will find more than I could fit in one sitting. If you like this one, there is always more at RadioHangar.com. Fly safe out there, and next time you're cruising along at altitude with the autopilot holding your heading and a 200-knot jet stream on your tail, tip your headset to the one-eyed Okie who got there first.